All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dollar Short Podcast. It is your host, Martin. I'm joined by my co-host, Marlon. How are you doing, sir?
I'm blessed high fair, brother. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing real well. I'm excited for this one. It's always fun when you get a hometown hero on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll let you go ahead and do the introductions, bro. I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah, man. We're joined by one of the best cornerbacks in the game. Actually had our podcast in 2020, so it's been a while, but I'm kind of glad we kind of reconnected again. So it's the good old hero, Delvin Bro. Bro, what's good with you?
Man, yes, what's happening, gentlemen? What's going on?
Yeah, they're back at it again, man.
Yes, sir. It's been a minute, man, but I'm glad you guys reached out, bro. You know, it's always fun talking with you guys, and just I enjoy being on the show.
Hey, man, we absolutely appreciate it. It's absolutely been a pleasure to watch your journey and the things you've been doing, especially since the last time we talked. Like, we're familiar with it. We're hometown fans. You know, we got to see your journey from college and everything you persevered there to Canada, making a name there, making it to the NFL. And now we get to see your journey after that time into becoming the entrepreneur and becoming the change maker that you're becoming and impacting the world we live in. So that's awesome.
Man, absolutely, man. I appreciate it, man. Man, I appreciate it, bro. Like, I'm going to need all the support we can get, bro, because it's definitely a different ball game now that I'm into the entrepreneurial world, bro. The football stuff was cool, but it kind of prepared me for, you know, these entities out here, bro. Like, it's definitely real in this business world, man. I tell you that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. Bro. But even before I get into the whole entrepreneur thing, you got hired on as the Booker T. Washington secondary coach last year. So tell me how that happened.
Yeah, man. So once I got done playing ball with the BC Lions, you know, I always wanted to go coach, man. And I wanted to learn under Wayne Reese. But, you know, obviously he passed away during his time in COVID. And I was like, you know what? What's a better word? What's a better way to learn, you know, the game from? And, you know, it was his son. You know, his son was the head coach at Booker T. Washington. And I was like, well, he learned from his dad, so I'm more sure he's going to have the same tools and the same, you know, teaching mechanisms that his dad did. So I was like, it was a no-brainer, you know. So I reached out to him and, you know, and I told him, well, actually, my brother Kedrick Bangle was the running back coach over there. And he was like, bro, we need a DB coach. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I was ready to go coach yet because I didn't have really much experience. But I realized, like, bro, you played football your whole life, so you have experience there. So why not just go take the chance, take the risk in coaching and show these kids what you can do? And think about this. You can make an impact on these kids' lives with their mental health, because I'm big into the mental health game. And, right, you know, what's a better way to, you know, be around the kids 24/7, man. And that way I get to help those kids and mold those kids to being, you know, great successes once they leave high school. So it was a no-brainer, man. I took the job. I enjoyed it. Bro, we had, I want to say within the last 3 years, they had like one interception, two interceptions maybe. We had six.
Nice.
Ooh. We had six. We ended the season with six last year, man. And, you know, like, it was so exciting. It's like, bro, I want to continue to keep doing it. I want to continue to keep pouring into these kids, bro, because if you show them that you care, they're going to buy in. Yeah. If you show, bro, absolutely, that you care, bro, any ounce of that you care and love to these kids, bro, they're going to buy in, and that's what they showed me, man.
Absolutely. That sounds like it was the universe conspiring in your favor. That's what it sounds like to me. Cause you like, I don't know if I'm ready. Your brother over there, hey, bro, we need you. Like,
yeah,
that's yeah, bro. That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
So how was it being on the sideline again as a coach? Like, I mean, how's that feeling like being kind of back on the grind yard again?
Man, being back on the gridiron as a coach, bro, it was obviously different because, you know, I don't have the helmet on. I don't have the shoulder pads. I don't have to go out there trying to cover receivers, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. You know, I ain't got to do that no more. So
yeah.
I get to teach these kids, man. And that's what it's about, bro. If you can teach these kids, if these kids can understand your teaching and your education and what you're bringing to them and they're excelling, bro, I think you should find your path in teaching, man, because these kids need to learn from people who've been on higher platforms before. So if you have a chance to get back and teach to these kids, man, teach them, educate them so they can be prepared when they go on their journey as well.
When you're on the sideline, for the very first game, what was that you were feeling? Kind of the same as a player, or you kind of really just, you were even killed the whole entire time? Like, what was that feeling like?
Man, the feeling on the sideline, bro, as a coach, I was nervous because I'm really putting my skills, my testing, my knowledge as far as a DB, and I'm trying to instill into these kids, bro. I don't know if they're going to go out there and do what I'm teaching, bro, because these kids bad, bro. These dudes, they be flying off the walls of time, bro. And I don't know if they're going to do exactly what I teach because – they have their own mind. I tell them, don't mimic me. Just do the best you can do. That's all I tell them. Don't try to be me. Just do the best you can do, right? I'm going to teach you. Just do the best you can do. And, man, those kids went out there and they excelled, bro. They did beyond the expectation, man. So they kind of eased my nerves a little bit, man. So it's pretty cool.
And how'd you kind of find your voice doing that? Saying, I mean, when you are actually, you know, on the sideline, like kind of coaching them, are you like yelling in a way? Or are you kind of in a kind of a calm voice? Hey, man, do X, Y, Z. Like, how'd you go about that?
Oh, man, them kids, man, they make you go crazy, man. Hey, hold on, man. Them kids make you go crazy, bro. It just be like some of the little things. Like, if you tell a kid to stay outside, left, like the ball coming this way, they running a toss sweep my way. Just stay outside the block. That way you can force the running back inside. Bro, these dudes running in there, let the running back. I'm like, yo. Like, sometimes you have to get in coach mode. You have to raise your voice. But but for the most time, bro, if I'm going to get to this point, I'm going to make sure I love you up at the end. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want you to go back with your mind being distraught. Like, man, coach just yelled at me, man. Coach, nah, he done lost his confidence. So what I do for my players is when I go to the extreme, I make sure I love them up. Because they got to finish playing the game, bro. They're the ones out there got to play. They got to make sure they still maintain that confidence throughout the game. So that's my coaching style.
It's important to have that balance. I know just playing high school ball in New Orleans, it ain't always easy. A lot of the coaches could be real rough with you. But the ones that make the most impact are the ones that let you know, like, this is coming from a place of caring. I know what you can do. I can see you succeeding. And I'm being hard on you because I have expectations based on what you showed me.
That's it.
So that's awesome that you're finding that balance of being able to not only be firm with them, but encourage them at the same time.
That's it. I mean, because you know, right now in today's world, bro, kids are very sensitive. And the minute you say anything that's outrageous, those kids are ready to, you know, they're ready to act out, which is okay with me because you're human, man. You're human. You're a human being at the end of the day. So act out, but then we're going to correct that. You know what I'm saying? We're going to correct all that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you still have your family and friends that's in these stands watching you play. You still have to represent that name on the back of your jersey. You know what I'm saying? You still have to represent that character because you got these scouts coming from all over the world to watch you play. And if they seeing you act out like that on the sideline, can't be coachable, man. Them coaches ain't going to come talk to you. So if we can show them that, like, yo, you can get what they call is a controlled rage, a controlled emotions.
Yeah.
Right. If we can control those emotions, man, bro, we'll see a lot of these kids being successful, man. So it's on us to teach them, right?
Definitely, man. So as you were kind of reflecting on your first season as a secondary coach, what would you say would be your biggest lesson that you've learned as a coach?
My biggest lesson that I've learned as a coach was just patience and have fun, man. Right? Those kids aren't me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that I've been at the highest level, those kids aren't me. So I have to be patient with the tools that I give them. I have to be patient with how they're receiving the material, right? Because not all kids have the high IQ, right? And not to pick on Booker T, but they look at their academics as low over there, man. But those kids are some brilliant kids, man. They are some smart-minded kids over there. You just have to work with them. You know what I'm saying? You have to work with them, bro. And being able to just teach them that patience is key for everything, man. And that's what I learned about myself, being patient with myself and being patient with others. And just enjoying the game, man. Like, don't let the game be serious, bro. Like, you know, most people go out there, oh, I got to do this. I got to lock in. I got to be. But then that's when you make the most mistakes. Relax. Enjoy the moment. You prepare during the week, right? Just go out there and have fun.
Absolutely, man. And I kind of noticed that as time progressed, you've been very vocal about the using CBD to help your body recover. And you joined the Indigo family, I believe it was March 7th of this year. So tell me how that partnership came about.
Yeah, man. Indigo, man. My God, I love Indigo. Shout out to my team over there, man. Kara, Jim. Oh, Pat, all my guys over there, man. I love them, man. The partnership came about, just what I want to say, about 2 years ago, they reached out to me online just because I was promoting myself as being a cannabis advocate. And they reached out to me, and, you know, it was a no-brainer, you know, what they stood for and the educational component of CBD, or cannabis or marijuana, like what they stood for in the educational component caught my eye and my attention. And I was like, man, they're not just out here putting out products just for people to use. They're really educating people on what medicinal effects and therapeutic use it has on their body. And I'm like, that's where I'm at. That's the alignment I'm on. Because if we can teach people about the plant and the herbal medicinal effects and the natural benefits it has on your body, then it'll change a lot of people's mind about the plant, man. So we did the partnership, and it's been going well, man. We're doing more pop-up shops. We did something for 420 Fest. We have more events coming up, man. And I love it, bro. Like, the fact that it's a alternative to opioids and to pills, man, I think more athletes should really look into it. Just because of the neuroprotecting benefits it has on our brain, right? With all of the tackling and the head-on collisions we have, it can actually protect your brain, man. So they have those in the molecules, and we have that in our products, man. So if people want to test our products out, they can go and look online and fit, you know, find out exactly what works for what ailment they're suffering with. It's very descriptive, and man, it's awesome, bro. The partnership is going well, and it's cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to what we have next.
What's up, man? And absolutely. It's like, for me, and with some of the go ahead, Martin. Go ahead, my bad. But
what I was gonna say, now, you know, we got the president pushing for the legal changes as far as cannabis goes, from being a Schedule One drug, bringing it down to a Schedule Three. That's gonna make it significantly more accessible to people. You don't, they're wiping out criminal records for it. So that shows like a shift in the perception of cannabis as a whole. And that's going to be big, allowing people to really take a more serious look at it and learn more from it. And you've been an advocate of it for years now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tried different products, you know, as far as like pain management and things like that. And I, like, as someone who's taken, you know, different drugs that were prescribed over, you know, from my doctors and stuff for pain management, the effects of those compared to, you know, CBD products are significantly different. Yep. And the CBD has always been the better option.
Absolutely, man. And that's what we want to get people. That's what we want to give people mind to understand and to delve into, right? Like, the difference between CBD and THC. You don't always have to be walking around here high, like, you know, as they say, right? So if we have someone out in the community that's educating people on, you know, the non-euphoric feel in the CBD, or the euphoric feel in the THC, or the difference between the molecule CBD, CBN, CBC, then more people will get, you know, hooked on the fact that this is medicine. This is natural. This is herbs. Like, it grows from the ground. So why not, you know, use it at a, as an alternative, right?
And when you're talking to these people, man, do you feel like you're actually, they're actually listening to you? I mean, sometimes, like, ah, it's a drug. I don't want to do that. But you think when you actually speak to these people, that they're actually like, oh, let me go ahead and try that. Do you feel that when you do talk to these people?
Man, absolutely. Yes, man, because my thing is when people hear the different perception on, you know, what you think about it and how it works for you, then they'd be like, oh, I never thought about it like that way. And that's why I'm glad I took the program at LSU, man. I've done a 6-month course on cannabis agriculture and horticulture because now it gives me the factual details to get somebody to change their perception of the plant now, right? Like, I can give you factual information on this plant now. Rather is, oh man, my dude down the street was selling it. I just got some Zion off the bay. You don't even know what that is. You don't even know if it is going to give you the euphoria, if it's going to give you, not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just doing whatever. So that's why I'm here, man. And I love spreading this message.
Absolutely. So I know you have your mental health camp coming up that you're doing.
Yep.
That's exciting. I remember the last one I was at with the kids, man. That was a great event. My sons took a lot away from it, you know, because it wasn't just football. It was talking about mental health. It was talking about those things, you know, getting an opportunity to work with yourself and other people in the community that are doing some things. Tell us a little bit about that and what we can expect.
Yeah, man. So, man, first and foremost, I appreciate it. Love always, man, because we want the parents and the kids to definitely grab something away from our camps, man, because that's what it's about, right? Having the resources there and when kids leave the camp. But yes, our camp we having this year is our second annual mental health boot camp at Dillard. It's going to be May 18th and 19th, registration at 9:30. You can either register online, and if you do decide to come the day of the camp, we won't turn no kid away. So we're definitely going to be welcoming to, you know, every kid that wants to be a participant of the camp. And we're going to have numerous activities this year. Last year, we had more so of speakers that were speaking to the kids. This year, we're going to have more so of hands-on activity. We're going to have a nutritionist come through, a chef nutritionist come through, and Chef Ashley Jonique. She's going to come there and teach the kids how to make fruit salads, how to make kale chips, teaching the difference between lettuce, spinach, and kale, which is going to be awesome. She's going to be partnering with Forvic Farm. He's going to come through there. He's going to bring the soil. He's going to bring some seeds for the kids to grow their own seed or their own plant or grow whatever. I think it's hibiscus he's bringing, hibiscus seeds they're going to grow, or some green beans, something he's bringing for the kids to grow, man. They can have their hands-on activities to where they can get their hands dirty themselves, man. And then we are also going to have the mental health clinicians from Tulane University and Epic NOLA. They're going to come through and they're going to host the mental health component. We have, what else we have? Myself is doing a yoga meditation with physical fitness. Yeah, man. So it's going to be pretty awesome, Brian. And my thing is, I want these kids to just come and have fun. And what we want them to take out of this camp is to know that they have resources available once they leave the camp.
Absolutely, man. I got to say, I kind of want to know, kind of go backwards a little bit here. When you did your first mental health camp last year, and I believe that was in the May? Yeah, last May. So it's one thing to have an idea, but it's one thing to actually execute that idea. So tell me how that kind of came about, of you executing your very first mental health camp.
How did I execute? Well, you know, it just took my team, man. You know, it was something I always wanted to do in the community, for the community, with the community. Especially about mental health, man. A lot of people don't talk about mental health. We don't even bring conversations. I don't even know if they have a lot of resources here in New Orleans. So I'm like, we got to talk about this, bro, because a lot of people are losing their minds and nobody is talking about it. So it was a no-brainer for me, man, to partner up with. It was Jefferson Park Indoor where I had my first one. And it was awesome, bro. And I had my friend Tia, she had signed up her nephew. And once she saw that, you know, that it was an amazing turnout, she was like, man, can we bring this over to Dillard? And I was like, bro, yes, indeed. Like, let's go ahead on and do it. And we brought it over to Dillard, man. And I told her I wanted to emphasize more so on the mental health portion instead of it being a football camp. I don't, I've seen too many camps, football camp, and nobody's talking about mental health. But I'm like, hold on, let's incorporate mental health first and then football, because we have to be able to have our mental right before we even step on the football field. So that didn't make no sense to me. So I'm like, bro, let's do that. Let's start attacking the mental before we get on the field. And, you know, it's been heaven so far, man.
Yeah, it was in February, my bad. Not in May, it was in February of last year, but. Mm-hmm. I love to hear that part, because you said it's one thing to focus on football, because a lot of these football players do football camps for the team, which is a great thing. But you took it to a whole different level with, let's focus on the mental part, because you can't play football properly when this is not right. So I got to say, that's dope, man.
Man, absolutely, bro. Like, and my thing is, it's experience, right? You go through it to go through it. So the fact that I've been through camps and seen people you know, host all these football camps, and they got thousands of kids coming to their camps. Yeah, that's all cool and dandy, but what mission are they getting out of this besides, oh, I'm going to the NFL? Because half of them kids out there, maybe 10 of them going to the league, they don't even talk about that. So I want to change the perspective. I want to change the mindset, man. Let's take care of our mental first, because if football don't work out, I at least have my mindset to lean on, bro. You know what I'm saying? I at least have my mindset to where I can go navigate. I get to go look for another job opportunity. I get to go probably go be a doctor, lawyer, or something like that. So I want people leaving my camps knowing that Delvin wasn't just had me focusing on football, man. He had me planting seeds, bro. I'm growing, for God's sakes. Like, I want to teach the kids about life, learn lessons, like, because if they want to grow, like, we don't have a lot of growers down here, bro, agriculturalists. We don't have a lot. So, and I'm talking about Black people in specific. We don't have a lot of Black growers. I'm getting excited, y'all, because we need to change the game in that. We got to get more Black growers. We have them, yes, but we need more people educated on the agriculture side of it, the horticulture side of it, bro, because there's a lot to learn, man, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm getting excited, my bad. I just like, I reckon these kids, bro.
Oh, you good, Brett? Look, hey, anytime you're passionate about something, that's a beautiful thing, especially when it helps the community and the culture. I mean, look, we absolutely support it, man. I definitely want to say, look, thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it. Like, you sharing your message, sharing your passion about it. You know, definitely looking forward to the camp. You know, we'll make sure to share that on every platform so people know what's going on and people can come out and support and bring their kids so they can bring something to take away from it.
Man, absolutely, bro. And I want to say, we always looking for sponsorships, partnerships, collaborations, man. So all the top dogs that's in New Orleans that be moving around, you know, Super Scent, you know, the mayor have a good group of people. Weed Ass over there, my boy G. Currency, Spitter, man. I want you guys, McMahon, Mac Official. I want you guys, Master P. Let's go ahead on and do something big. We can call it a mental health day for New Orleans, bro. For all I care, to where we have all the top people come together, man. You know what I'm saying? We can have a mental health day, and we can come all together. It's for the community, for the city. I'm challenging y'all, man. Like, this is big for us. I see y'all in the mental health space. Tent Wall Buck, I see y'all in the mental health space. Why don't we collab? I'm challenging y'all to collab, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. That's the whole thing about, man. Focus on the kids in the community.
Absolutely.
I think the problem is, too, man, just I think sometimes people don't want to partner up because their name is not actually on it. It's like the headline, hey, I'm doing this. You know, they don't want to take the back seat behind somebody. So, but I think what you're doing is very important. To, hey, look, let's get together. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the little kids, man. So, yeah, keep pushing, bro. Keep pushing.
Man, absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys. And don't forget about my book, Unbroken. Y'all make sure y'all go check that out on Amazon. Barnes & Nobles, baby. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Yeah. But last thing before you go, Dub, I got a question for you regarding football.
Yep.
I got a question real quick. So, I saw this on Pro Football Network. It's like a ranking of the top 10 cornerbacks this year. So I want to get your thoughts on it. The first one is Sauce Gardner. Second is Patrick Surtain for the Broncos. Three is Jalen Ramsey. Four, Jalen Johnson from the Bears. 5, Tre'Davious Ward for the 49ers. Lenarius Sneed at 6. You got Trent McDuffie at 7. Denzel Ward at 8. Deron Bland at 9. And DJ Reed at 10. This is Pro Football Network. Just, I want to hear your thoughts before we go.
Oh my God. That is disgusting. Who did that? Man, you got to tell them to give up their license, man. Whoever over there needs to give up their license.
I'm going to send to you right now.
Man, where my dog? Jair Alexander? What we doing?
And it's certified, too.
We need to go talk crap about that, man.
This is terrible, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. That's all. So before you go, who are your top 5 corners of this year? Top 5 corners.
I like Lattimore. I'm always go with the hometown guy. I love Lattimore. I love Sauce. I love Alexander Jair. I mean, injuries, but he's a dog, bro. When he's fully healthy, but he's a baller. I like Bland from the Cowboys. He's really nice, bro. He's showing me very much so instinctual. He can cover playing a press and an off, man. I love that. And my last one, I would say, I like Surtain, man. Surtain is definitely showing me, like, he's definitely been elevating his game as he's been playing, bro. And I love the way he's playing physical. He's tall. Man, he's doing well. So I would say those 5.
Gotcha. So no love for Jalen Ramsey, huh?
I like Ramsey, but it's time to he had hands for about 5 years, 4 years, 5 years. Yeah. He's been the top. So it's time to, move on. He's been good for the last 5, 6 years, bro. So we got new cats coming in that's balling, and I'm excited to see what Kool-Aid gonna do this year. I think he's gonna be a sleeper rookie this year, bro. So
gotcha. Yeah. Oh, wait, one more. So we think about, I don't know if you follow him or not, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who the Eagles just drafted, white cornerback.
Oh, safety or corner?
He played both, so safety and corner.
You know what you mean? First and foremost, I'm applaud that, you know, white boy got drafted, man.
I'm surprised too, yeah.
You don't really see that or hear that. But I love his game though, man. His off man coverage is phenomenal, bro. I love the way he do his 3-step read, get his eyes on the receivers. And the good thing is, he don't ever, like, when the receivers break out, he don't ever just look back at the quarterback. If you pay attention, watch his eyes go straight to the receiver, then to the quarterback, and that's what puts him close to knocking down a lot of passes, man. So I think he's going to be a sleeper as well, bro. I'm gonna make sure I pay attention to him this year. Good special teams guy, too. I think he'll be a great special teams guy, too, bro.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a good returner, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a returner, so yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But still, who that, man? You know it.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, all day long. Who that, baby?
All right, man.
See, hear this guy. Hear this guy go.
It's just saying. You
know. This man pulled the helmet.
Look, he grabbing all the Eagles paraphernalia. He gotta pull it up.
Well, Malcolm Jenkins on the
book. Malcolm,
too.
The hometime. Malcolm's a saint.
Hold on, wait a minute now. He said
he had a few years with y'all.
Fly the fly.
That's my guy there, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man, once again, thank you, sir. Appreciate you. We appreciate you taking the time out, man. Be blessed. Be safe. And look, just continue doing everything you're doing, sir.
Man, yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, gentlemen. Martin Marlin, I appreciate y'all always, man. Right. Anytime.
Right. Absolutely.
Anytime.
Right. Peace.
All right, gentlemen.
All right.